Hebrews 13:8. This is the verse it's going to be our text for today, at least one of many. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Where in the world is he going with this? Well, we'll see. The title of this message today is, Who is Jesus? Let the shock factor go over. Who is Jesus? Because, you know, that's a silly question. Everybody knows who Jesus is, right? Of course we do. We got saved because of Jesus. But I wonder sometimes if we really see him in the light of who he really is. And I'm saying this from my own experience. I don't know what your experience is and what your view of who Jesus is. But I know things have changed for me somewhat recently. You may recall in the last several messages I gave that I talked about how Jenny and I went through 12 days of COVID-19 back in February. And we had missed COVID for 3 years, and suddenly, boom, 15 people came down with it one time in the church, just suddenly. I went to the doctor and I said, everybody says you just need to quarantine for 5 days and you'll be all right. She said, we had a patient that had it for 6 weeks. I said, oh, Lord. 1 week is too much. But anyway, praise God. So we had that. And then I was impressed at that time to find a recording of the healing scriptures, which I did on YouTube. They're all over the place. No problem. And I listened to them over and over and over. And in 2 days, I was healed. 2 days it left me. But I continued to listen to those scriptures. I continued to listen to them every day since then because they're just great scriptures to listen to and to feed on. And not all of them are about healing. Some of them are just way out there somewhere. You think this is about healing, then you reckon, oh yeah, that is about healing. Anyway, I don't think we have yet recognized the effect of the Word of God on the human spirit. I don't think it's dawned on us yet what the Word of God does to our spirit when we hear it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, but a lot of other things come. Knowledge of God comes. Revelation of the Word comes. And that's why faith comes. Anyway, not preaching on that today, but I just wanted to mention that because when you listen to Scripture verses over and over and over, you begin to see things you didn't see before. Though you've been a Christian over 40 years, rah, rah, rah. You know, it doesn't... yeah, shish boom ba. And so, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how much Bible you've read. I've read it from cover to cover. I believe every bit of it. Well, that's good, but you got to hear it. You got to hear it. You got to keep on hearing it. If you continue in my word. Okay, not going down rabbit trails here. So I listened to those scriptures about the ministry of Jesus. Part of those healing scriptures were about the ministry of Jesus. Obviously, they would be in there somewhere. And it sort of altered my concept of who Jesus is. I think I see him now more clearly than I saw him before. And like I say, I've been in this thing for over 40 years. I've read the Bible before, and I've read the scriptures about the ministry of Jesus before. But this time, they began to hit me in a different way. So, as a result of that, I've come to believe that receiving healing in our body is at least partly based upon what our concept of Jesus is. What our concept of Jesus is. You know, it's a very interesting thing that makes the ministry, the thing that makes the ministry of Jesus so amazing and so astounding is the very thing that people have told us have passed away. That's the supernatural healing, the power of God to heal people supernaturally. That's the thing that theologians have said has passed away with the first apostles. But what does the Bible say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always going to be that way. And what did he do when he was here? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's a big part of who he is, praise God. And so where were we anyway? Jesus has not changed. He has not changed one bit since the days of his earthly ministry. He was and he still is the Word of God who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And you know what Jesus said? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How say you, show us the Father, Philip? Have I been with you so long and you don't know me yet? If you've seen me, you've seen exactly how my Father is. And that's one of the big reasons, actually maybe the biggest reason Jesus came to earth was to reveal the Father to us. How could we ever know what the Father was like if Jesus didn't give us the example? If you've seen me, you've seen him. Why say, show us the Father, Philip? Have I been here that long and you don't know me yet? You haven't seen me? And so, the Father is exactly like Jesus is. Glory to God. And so this message is basically about Jesus. I just want to read a few of the many scripture verses about Jesus' earthly ministry and comment a little on them, not much, but mainly just read them and hopefully stir something in us to lift our vision a little bit higher and see Jesus for who he is. Not that we don't already see him for who he is, but more so of seeing who he is. The eternal healer, the one who makes us whole, spirit, soul, and body. And so we're just going to read some scriptures from the ministry of Jesus, and I think you'll see some things. I've read these scriptures for years, but I saw things in them I never saw before. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, which means mentally ill in some way, and those that had the palsy or paralysis. And he healed them. Not some of them, all of them. You see, Jesus healed every type of sickness and every type of disease. He cast out devils. He healed the mentally ill, as well as those who were paralyzed. He healed leprosy. He healed the blind people and the deaf people. He even raised up people from the dead. If you recall, remember Lazarus? He raised up Lazarus and Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, and also the son of the widow of Nain while they were on their way to bury him, raised him up. So Jesus did a lot of things. And I just want to start with that about his ability to do so many and heal so many. Nothing ever came to him that he couldn't deal with. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. Matthew 9, 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Praise God. They marveled. They said, we've never seen anything like this. And they hadn't. It was never so seen in Israel. That was the effect that Jesus had on people. And we'll see that as we read these scriptures, that people were always astonished at what he did. We've never seen anything like this. My goodness. Praise God. And so we go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Did y'all know that Jesus healed all of them? In great multitudes, he healed all of them. You did know it? Praise God. I thought you did. Hallelujah. I knew you did. I know too. Sure do. Again, he healed all who were sick in great multitudes of people. He never said no to anybody. Did you know that? He never said no to anybody. I can't find it in the Bible anywhere. He didn't say to anybody, it's not God's will to heal you. I never, nowhere in the Bible can you find that. Or you need to stay sick so God can teach you something. If that were true, Jesus would have certainly said it to somebody, you would think, so we could know. And so, see, that's just human reasoning. When you can't get it to happen, you got to have an excuse. Well, it must not be God's will. Or God's putting that on you to teach you something. Come on. I hope we're beyond that. Praise God. Matthew 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Praise God. You ever seen anybody minister where you just come up and touch their clothes and everybody was sick, came up and touched him, got healed? Whew. The whole multitude. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. As many as touched. The healing power, the virtue was even in his clothing. Remember the woman with the issue of blood that came in the press behind and touched the edge of his garment? And she knew immediately in herself she was healed of that plague. And he turned about and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." She just touched his clothes. See, that was a common thing for them to touch Jesus' clothes and be healed. Amen. It was even in his clothes. Everybody who touched was made perfectly whole. Wow. Would it shock you if I said that's the way our ministry ought to be? It shouldn't shock us. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also." Did he say that or not? He did say that. Now see, now maybe we haven't done that yet, but that doesn't mean we're not able to at some point. If we get the right knowledge, if we get the right understanding of things. That's not to discourage anybody or put anybody down. We do the best we know how. And we see some results. God answers prayers. We pray for sick people and they get healed in a week or two, you know. Praise God. We're doing it. I'm happy with that, but I want to see us walking in that. Okay. There's so much potential there. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. How about that? Praise God. And Matthew 15, verse 29 through 31. Matthew 15, 29 through 31. And Jesus departed from there and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain. And he sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him. Whew, glory. Having with them those that were... He didn't have small meetings. Let me just tell you that. When Jesus had a meeting, great multitudes were there. Praise God. Got off my topic here. Let's see. Having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, deformed, mutilated, many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. All of them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. You would too. We would too. If we saw that happen, we'd glorify the God of it. God, you're so amazing. Oh, my God, you're wonderful. They were amazed. They broke into worship. Great multitudes came out to see him with people who were lame, blind, hearing impaired, mutilated, many others, and he healed them all. And it says the multitude wondered or marveled. Or that is, they were astonished when they saw all of these infirmities healed. We would be astonished too to see something like that. It would be astonishing. Glory to God. And it says the multitudes wondered or marveled. That is, they were astonished. When they saw all these infirmities healed, we would be that way too. Now, how big is a great multitude? It says everywhere he went, great multitudes. Not just a great multitude, but great multitudes. Several great multitudes came to him in many cases. And it doesn't really say how big a great multitude is, but we know in the accounts of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and the 7,000, in both cases, they're called great multitudes. But those numbers only reflected the number of the men. 5,000 would likely be 15,000 people with women and children, including, let's see, and 7,000 would probably be 20,000 or more people. That's a great multitude. Praise God. I mean, that's a great multitude. How would you like to see 20,000 people on the grounds here? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it'd take all the grounds. We got some big grounds around here, so praise God. I don't know where they'd park their cars, but anyway. I was reading a sermon by Smith Wigglesworth about a week ago or so, in which he said that Christians need to be awakened, and that's what his message was about, not so much to the salvation we have and know about, the things we understand, but awakened to the deep things of God. His point was that if we are awakened to those things, we will do things we didn't know we could do. Glory to God. Anyway, I'll have to get back and read the rest of that sermon later sometime. Who knows? That part was really good, though. And then there was the encounter that Jesus had. And I'm only reading a few of the scriptures about his ministry. Not all. We don't have time to read all of them, but just a few of them. There was the encounter that Jesus had with a demon-possessed man who called himself Legion because he said, "We are many." What's your name? Legion. We're many. And you remember how the devils went out of the man and into the 2,000 pigs that were in the herd nearby and then ran down the hill into the lake and died, drowned. And, you know, when the people of the towns came out to see what had happened, they saw the man with the legion clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, it said. This is just too much for us to handle. Who is this scary? Because they asked Jesus to leave their country. Would you mind leaving, please? This is too intense for us. And in Mark 5:18-20, it says, "And when he, Jesus, was come up into the ship after this, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Lord, take me with you. However, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in the Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." Glory to God. He told people what Jesus had done, and they knew the condition he had been in before. And all who heard about it marveled. That is to say, they wondered. They were amazed. They were astonished. You know, astonishment seemed to follow Jesus around. Have you picked that up yet? There was a lot of astonishment everywhere he went. I mean, that was one of the major factors of his meeting. Man, you want to be astonished? Go watch this guy minister. He'll blow your mind, so to speak. And so this guy went, and everybody marveled. He became a walking advertisement for Jesus. Now, when he went back over the lake from that point, a man named Jairus came out, as you recall. And he met Jesus and asked him to come pray for his 12-year-old daughter. She was sick and near death, actually. And come lay your hand on her so she'll live. And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll go with you. We'll pray for her." But the daughter died before they got back home. You remember the story? Somebody said, "Why trouble the master anymore? Your daughter's dead." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Jesus said, "Keep your faith up. We're going to go do this thing." But when he arrived at the house, you know, Jesus said to the people, "Why make you all this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps." She's asleep. She's not dead. And it says in Mark 5:40, "And they laughed him to scorn." And you look up the word "laugh" and "scorn," it means they derided him. They put him to shame, or attempted to put him to shame for saying such a thing. "But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. See, I'm telling you, this stuff will blow your mind. If you ever see it happen, it will put you in another realm. Glory to God. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were perplexed. They were thrown into wonderment. The word astonishment here comes from a Greek word that means to be beside oneself, to be displaced, as it were, from your normal state of mind. Jesus had that effect on people everywhere he went. His ministry was astonishing. That's the part I think I really didn't get until I listened to these over and over, what the effect on the people was of his ministry, of who he was and who he is. Oh, how we need to be thrown into astonishment by Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody want that? Anybody want to be thrown into astonishment by Jesus? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, do it to us. Does Jesus still astonish people today? Praise God. I believe he does. But are we starting to get the feeling, as I did, that perhaps Jesus is bigger and more powerful than we've come to view him? Society and religion has brought him down to this low place. But if we see him for who he was then, the Bible says he's the same then and today and forever. He's not going to change. Praise God. Do we somehow think that certain things are just too big for him these days? Well, this situation, we don't need to pray about that. It's just too big. I've seen it happen not too long ago. My friend's mother and well, she was old. She was, you know, in her 90s, but she had an aneurysm. But you couldn't get anybody to think anything but the doctors say that it's this. The doctors tell us that there's no hope. And well, yeah, there may be medically no hope. But we're talking about Jesus. Can he bring hope to a situation like that? Of course. Anyway, praise God. So, that's what society and religion has kind of programmed us to think, embedded it in us. But Jesus is always astonishing. So we need to start being astonished by who he is and lift our vision to a higher place. In Mark 7, verse 32 through 37, "And they bring unto him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue with the spit." Praise God. Don't ask me, I don't know. "He touched his tongue with the spit, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway," or immediately, "his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them that they should not tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it." They just couldn't stay quiet about it. I'm sorry. I know you said don't tell anybody, but I couldn't help it. Praise God. "And the people were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Have you ever been beyond measure astonished? Maybe from time to time, something astonishes you, but that means they were exceedingly or beyond or past being struck with amazement. They were not amazed. They were in a place somewhere out beyond amazement. And I think that's normal for Jesus. That's the effect he has on people. Glory to God. He always had that effect. I believe he still does. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. "And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days in Capernaum, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." People who heard Jesus preach and teach and saw him minister were astonished. It was just something like they had never seen before. They were amazed because he was speaking with power and authority, boldness and confidence. Praise God. Luke chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. What a word is this! Glory to God. The people were amazed at the things Jesus was doing and by the authority that he was demonstrating. Okay, we're going to do one more of the ministry of Jesus scriptures. And this is probably one of my favorites. Maybe the favorite. And then we'll move on to a little bit something else. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. And he, that is Jesus, came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude, this great multitude, sought to touch him. For there went virtue or power out of him and healed them all. Glory to God. Can you imagine that? Can you see it? He's standing in this large flat plain, out in a desolate place, I guess, before a great multitude of people, and a healing frenzy breaks out. See, the sick people that they had brought had already been healed, and now all the people wanted to touch him. Every one of them. It was crazy. Wow, it was a healing frenzy. And it says that virtue or power went out of him and healed them all, the entire multitude. That's noteworthy. Can you see him standing there with his arms up, out in the plain, this vast flat area, and this great multitude around him, standing there and power going out of him, people being healed? Glory to God. Amen. This is pretty amazing to me because I've been in some very powerful meetings. I've seen some of the best ministers. I've been in meetings where, you know, the presence of God was so thick you could feel it in the air. When you walk in, you say, "Oh, man, whoo, this is good. This is going to be good." And it was good. But I have never witnessed anything like the ministry of Jesus. I mean, let's just face it. I haven't witnessed anything like... They say that John G. Lake ministered more like Jesus Christ than anybody this particular person had ever seen. And he did some amazing things. But I've never seen anything quite like that. Jesus was and is healing and wholeness embodied in a man. That's what he was about, healing and wholeness. Everybody who came around him got healed and made whole. Everywhere he went, multitudes were delivered and made whole, and they were always astonished. Glory to God. So let me wind it down here a little bit and just end with a few more closing remarks. Now, it would be easy to say, "Well, brother, that was Jesus. You know, that was Jesus. He was God himself in the flesh, right?" Of course the people were astonished. Who wouldn't be? That was Jesus. But you know, we referred to it earlier. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." And I'm going on a side trail. The apostles did those works. Stephen, full of faith and power, did mighty works among the people. That was Stephen. Philip, the evangelist, he said all the people paid heed to what Philip said because of the signs and wonders that he was doing among the people. So Philip did that. Peter went to a place and raised up somebody from the dead. Remember Dorcas, the seller of purple? He raised her from the dead. He said that his shadow, people could just get in his shadow and be healed. So it wasn't because he was Jesus. He gave that power and authority to all who believe. And I guess maybe they just believed it more than we do because they were there and saw him minister. And he said, I tell you what, you can do it. I'm giving you authority to go out and do this same thing. And they came back and said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. So it's through his name. Amen. So I don't want to go off on too many side trails here, but it wasn't just Jesus who did this. There were others who did amazing signs and wonders among the people. Anyway, I can tell you a few more, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. He said, you'll do the same works as I because I go to my Father. What works? What did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice here in that verse I just quoted, we didn't look at it, but it's in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, if you want to look it up, about him healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It calls sickness demonic oppression. Oppression of the devil. He went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Or sick. Praise God. Now that's certainly not to say that a sick person is demon possessed. Now, we're smarter than that, aren't we? A sick person is not a demon possessed person. But sometimes we might get a little wild and rebuke a spirit of cancer or rebuke a spirit of COVID-19 or a spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, you spirit of infirmity. Are you saying that person's demon-possessed? No. But all sickness is demonic oppression. It's the enemy's behind all of it. So I don't think anything wrong about rebuking a spirit. 1 John 3:8 says, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's exactly what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. He went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. And we were meant to follow his lead. These signs shall follow them, these wonders shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, praise God. That's exactly what Jesus did. And John chapter 1, verse 25, you're all familiar with the scripture. John 21:25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Is Jesus awesome or what? Come on. Hallelujah. If we ever saw him ministry, it would actually blow us away, man. I'm telling you. Just from reading the Bible, I can see that. And what does it say in Hebrews 11 or 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed. Possibly our concept of him, or maybe even our faith in him, because there's lots of forces out there trying to change our faith in Jesus, trying to change us to where we don't believe all that stuff anymore. Jesus does not change. He's the same now as he was back then. He is astonishing, as astonishing now as he ever was. He is still the Redeemer. He is still the Savior. He's still the healer. He is still the one who brings healing and wholeness to every part of us. Our spirit, our soul, our spirit through the new birth, our soul through the renewing of the mind, and yes, even our body through divine healing. It's still part of what he does. It's still part of the package. He is still full of virtue and power. He is still the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Bible is written entirely about him. That's what this book is about. It's about Jesus. To reveal him to us. He's on every page of it if you study it. And faith comes by hearing this Word of God. The more this Word we have in us or we receive, the more of him is going to be working in us. And I'm getting very close to the end here, so just hold steady and be patient for a little bit more. This message I've shared today is a message that came to me as I was listening to the healing scriptures over and over and over. And I said, man, Jesus, he had a powerful ministry. As I heard those verses, I began to get a glimpse of how awesome and powerful Jesus really is and how he astonished people everywhere he went. And I realized he's still that way today. He wants to astonish us. He wants to be released and astonish people. Glory to God. Yes, he is the gentle Lamb of God, like a lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Poor little Jesus. He's never been poor and he's never been little. He played this role for us, this thing of the lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He couldn't open his mouth. If he had opened his mouth, it would have stopped the whole thing. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels right now and put a stop to this whole thing. But he had to open not his mouth. He had to remain silent. And, in the book of Revelation, you might remember the scripture where an angel says to John, the apostle, weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Glory to God. Woo, my hair just stood up. I know you couldn't see it, but it did stand up in the spirit. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And it says that John turned to see it, and he saw a lamb that looked like it had just been slain. I thought he said the lion of the tribe of Judah, but when he turned, it was a lamb. You see, the lamb and the lion are one. The gentle lamb that was slain at Calvary was, in fact, the roaring lion of Judah, defeating all principalities and powers and making an open show of them in the process. He publicly humiliated the powers of hell, and he gave us power over them through his name. And that's who Jesus is today, the victorious one, the one who has all authority both in heaven and in the earth. His name is above every name that is named in this world and also in the world to come. I'm thinking about that scripture where Peter and John went up to the temple, the beautiful gate, and the guy was there receiving alms. He asked for an alms, and he said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand, he stood up and leaped and danced and walked, and they went into the temple and said, and the people, greatly astonished, came together around them. There you go, that astonishment. And that was Peter and John and Jesus. And they said, they were taken to the Sanhedrin about it, and they said, by what authority and power do you do this? And he said, if you're examining us today about how this man is made whole, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his name, through faith in his name, has this man been made whole that you all see. And they said, after they got him out of there, they said, well, a notable miracle has been performed by that, and we can't deny it. Sure wish we could deny it, but they've done a miracle. So let's just command them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Anyway, that was a little extra there, no extra charge. Praise God. So, in his name, through faith in his name, see his name, it's his name really. We need to learn to use that name, praise God, because there's power and authority in that name. In this world and in the world to come, of things in heaven, of beings in earth, of beings under the earth, they all respond to that name. So, I want to close here. Appreciate y'all's patience. The Bible says that after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in that chapter in John, after that time, certain Greeks came up and they told Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, that they desired to see Jesus. We desire to see Jesus. They want to find out about this guy. I mean, they heard it. His fame went out everywhere. And so, let's just pray. Y'all just say this prayer after me, if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, like those Greeks, we desire to see Jesus. To lift our vision. To see him as he is. to see Him in His glory, and once again be astonished by His greatness. Father, help us as we hear Your word to lift our vision higher. Give us the revelation to see Him for who He is. The one whose name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Lion of Judah, the one who is worthy of all our praise. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank you.